Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. You know, his word is a guiding point unto us. It provides stability. And when we love his word and we follow his word, we build our life on a firm foundation, and we will not stumble. We will not fall into the traps that the enemy has planned for us. And that's why we love all of his word. We embrace all of his word, and we aim and seek with all of our hearts to walk in all of his ways. And this week, we're going to go ahead and start in the book of 2 Chronicles, and we're going to be in chapter 7, and we're going to be in verse 1. It says, now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Yahweh filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of Yahweh because the glory of Yahweh filled the house of Yahweh. And all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of Yahweh upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise to Yahweh, saying, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Now, this passage here is happening right after Solomon has built the temple of Yahweh. And as we read through scripture, we remember that the idea for the house of Yahweh was David's idea. And what we learn from scripture is not only did David have the idea, but Yahweh himself gave David the plans for building the house or the temple. But it was tasked unto Solomon to build the temple. So Solomon is the one who builds it. And David passes down the design, the instructions that was given unto him on how to build this temple. So Solomon builds the temple according to how David was told to build it. And then we see in chapter 6, Solomon praying for the temple, praying for the people of Israel. So what we see here in this passage, the first thing that we can gather and pick up on is it sets an example unto us. It shows us what happens when we have a desire to live our lives according to the instructions in which he has given us. See, Yahweh no longer dwells in a temple on the earth, but we are now that temple. And he desires for our temple to be set apart. The house that Solomon built for Yahweh was set apart. And that's God's purpose, and his plan for us is for us to be set apart and for us to live our life according to the design, the purpose in which he has created it to be. And when we follow that design, we can see the same results that we see and we read here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And as we also see is when Solomon prayed out unto God, God heard his prayer and God's glory filled his house. And we see that his glory filled the house to the point that the priests could not enter into Yahweh's house. Okay? The glory of Yahweh, this is speaking of the weight of Yahweh. When his glory comes, what happens is we experience the weightiness of Yahweh. We experience just how great he is. We experience just how holy he is. See, it's one thing to say he is holy. It is another thing to experience and see his holiness. And we who are unclean, who aren't walking as holy as he is, when we see that holiness, we see our faults. We see our uncleanness, and we're going to dive into that here a little bit more, okay, as we move on. The first thing, though, I want to talk about here is the fact that as Solomon prayed, the glory of Yahweh appeared. Yahweh heard Solomon's prayer, and Solomon reacted. And it's interesting, we see in verse 3, that the fire came down. And it's, when we think about on the day of Shavuot, or the day of Pentecost that we read about in Acts chapter 2, where now the new believers are the temple, and they are in that upper room, and they're praying, and the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the believers, we see fire come down in that instance as well. In that instance, the fire doesn't come down to the altar. The fire comes down to each believer being that dwelling place of Yahweh. His glory appeared unto the new believers in Acts chapter 2. And that is something we as believers today should expect when we pray and we earnestly seek his face and go after him. We should expect to see his glory and his fire come down upon us. Okay, let's look at Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that he might add to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense went up with the prayers of the saints out of the angel's hand before God. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. So what we see here, John is describing what he sees in his vision taking place in the heavenlies. And what he sees is he compares our prayers to that of incense. So remember, the incense burned in the house and was forever, was unceasing, rising up into the heavenlies. And that incense was a sweet smelling aroma unto Yahweh. And what John is telling us is that our prayers is that incense. It is rising to the throne room of the everlasting Almighty God sitting on his throne. So that is the confidence that we can have as believers, that whenever we reach out and whenever we seek his face and pray unto him, that our prayers, they're not staying down here, but they're rising to his throne room. Now, if we want to walk in outright rebellion and reject his ways and walk and that which is unclean on purpose, we can hinder our prayers. Scripture talks about how our prayers can be hindered when we walk according to our flesh. So it kind of goes back to what I was talking about before. Solomon built the temple according to the plan. When we have a desire, it's not meaning that we're perfect, but when we have a desire to live our life according to his plan, according to his desire, because we're going to slip up. We will mess up. But his blood is there to atone for that, to forgive us of that. But the outright rebellious heart that's rejecting him, those prayers will be hindered. But if we come to him with that heart that is pure before him, we can have full expectation that our prayers arising to his throne room, and his response that we see here is that he sends fire to the earth. He says he throws fire to the earth. So just as Solomon saw fire come down from heaven and consume the altar, his fire will come down to the believer. His fire is meant to consume. He will purify us through his fire. When his glory shows up, he will purify us. We will go from glory unto glory. But it also represents his fire coming down, the fact that he has heard our prayers and heaven responds to our prayer. And it speaks of hearing thunder and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. This speaks of the mightiness of his response. There is no trial that we face. There is no test that we're going through. There is no obstacle in our life that is too big for our God. When we seek his face and cry out to him, the Almighty One, who can conquer anything in our life, will hear our prayer and will respond. We can have that confidence that he is going to move in that type of response. And so as believers, that is one of the reasons and the motivation for us to have that pure heart. That is the love and the compassion that he has for his children and for those who are walking in covenant with him. We are in covenant with him. So he is a covenant-keeping God. So he will do according to his word. He will do what he has said he will do. He is obligated. So if we're walking in covenant with him, what is our end of the covenant? To walk in his ways, to have that pure heart before him. So we believe in Yeshua, and he cleanses us of all of our uncleanness, of all of our sin, making us clean so we can approach the holy God, the set apart God who is clean, who has no uncleanness in him. So now we as believers can boldly come before him and he can pour out his glory upon us, which was unclean, but now we've been made clean by the blood of Yeshua. And as our hearts are pure before him and we're desiring to walk in his ways, we can experience his glory being poured out upon us. The weightiness of his presence, the character of who he is. We can experience that in our lives, his peace, his goodness. He will fulfill the words that he has spoken over us. He will fulfill the promises he has made unto us in his scripture. And we can expect that as believers when we earnestly seek him and live our life and build our lives according to the instructions that he has given us. That is what his instructions are. His instructions do not make us worthy. We are made worthy because of the blood of Yeshua. His instructions teach us and guide us in how to be set apart, how to be clean, how to walk in that which is clean. So we've been made worthy. We've been cleansed by the blood of Yeshua. Now we follow his instructions, which we could never follow without the belief of Yeshua, because now he places his Holy Spirit inside of us. And his Spirit gives us the desire to want to walk in his ways, to seek his ways, to be clean, to be set apart from the world, to walk in that which is holy. And then his Holy Spirit gives us the power to walk in obedience to his word. And then we're able to experience the presence of the living God in our lives. That is his desire. That as we read how he poured out his presence, his glory upon that temple when Solomon built it, he wants to pour out his glory. He wants to pour out his presence. And he wants us to feel the weightiness of his presence in our lives, because now we are the temple of the living God. One of the other things we see here in 2 Chronicles is that when his glory was poured out and they could not enter into the house, okay, they fell down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. They saw that they were not worthy of his presence because they saw their uncleanness. When they saw the cleanness, the holiness of Yahweh, and they worshiped him. So one of the things when we feel the weight of his presence is it should draw us to worship him. And that's what we're going to do for eternity. When we go on to be with him in the New Jerusalem, we spend eternity with him. We will worship him. When we see him for who he is, and we experience the weightiness of his presence, and we experience his glory, we will experience his glory now. But we're going to experience his glory to the fullness on that day. And when we do, we will fall down and we will worship him. We will declare how worthy he is. And we need to declare his worthiness to the four corners of the earth. We need to declare his glory. We need to speak good of Yahweh. We need to declare his holiness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his loving kindness to the four corners of the earth. That's what we should be doing. And the other way that we declare or we show his glory to the earth is by the way we live. What we do, when we walk in obedience to his word, when we walk in his holiness, people see his holiness. And then people see his goodness. They see his loving kindness. They're going to see it through us, and they're going to experience it through us. But if we are walking in our flesh, and we're doing what we want to do, then we're not showing his glory to the world, but instead, we're making his name vain. We're bringing shame unto his name. So we need to be careful of how we behave, because the way we behave, we either uplift his name or bring down his name. And woe unto those who bring down his name. Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. And I want to look at Isaiah's response when he experiences the glory of Yahweh. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called out, while the house of God was filling with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Now, when we think about the temple and the way it was laid out, it teaches us and shows us the holiness of Yahweh. Because the first thing that you had to do as you were going to approach the living God of Israel is you had to come across that brazen altar. And it was at that altar that sin was dealt with. It was there that the blood was shed. So before you could go any further into that temple, into that tabernacle, first, that which was unclean had to be made clean. Sin had to be dealt with. And so the first thing that had to be done was you had to have the shedding of the blood. And Yeshua died upon that cross for us, and his blood was shed so that us who were unclean could be made clean. Then the next thing we see is the water, the basin in which the priests would cleanse themselves with the water. So we as believers, we put our belief in Yeshua that he died upon that cross for us, and that by his blood, our sins are dealt with, and we are made clean. Then we are water baptized, further cleansing ourselves. And then they go into the holy place, and then you have the most holy place. But it teaches us that that which is unclean cannot approach the clean God of Israel. So you had to be made clean first. We have to be made clean first. Even Isaiah, as he experiences the glory of God, the first thing he recognizes is his uncleanness. He sees where he's missing the mark. So by the mercy and the love of our God, he has cleansed us of all of our sin. So we can boldly come unto his throne. Which means that we can enter into his presence. It doesn't mean boldly that we come in with arrogance. Because we can see here that we can come with confidence before his throne. But we don't come in arrogance. Because when we come before his throne, even though we have been made clean, we have been made worthy to approach him. But as we draw near unto him, we're going to see and that which is in our lives that does not measure up to his glory, to his set apartness, to his cleanness. And we're going to see those things just as Isaiah did. He said, my mouth is unclean. My lips are unclean. Now we see here, and we're going to experience that. We're going to see the areas where we're short. But look at the love and the mercy of Yahweh. He doesn't kick Isaiah out because he doesn't measure up. But he deals with that which is unclean. And that is his desire for us. That as we approach him and we experience his glory, we experience the weightiness of his presence and just how set apart and holy he is. And we see that which is unclean in us, he doesn't kick us out. But he wants to deal with that which is unclean, so that we're being transformed further into his image. His idea and his desire for us is not for us to be conformed unto this world, walking like this world walks and talking like them and believing like them, behaving like them. But his desire is for us to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. And Yeshua was the one who perfectly obeyed God's law, his instructions that he laid out. He walked in the perfect degree of set apartness. So now we as believers, our desire is to walk just as he walked, to do what he did, to walk in perfect obedience to God's law. We don't do it trying to earn our salvation. We don't do it trying to earn and show that we are worthy, because we can never show that we are worthy. We have been made worthy by his mercy, by the blood of Yeshua. We could never make ourselves worthy, but we desire to be transformed into his image because we love him. Yeshua said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Because we love him, we should have a desire to walk in covenant with him. And that covenant is to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, to walk just as Yeshua walked. It's out of response of his love to us. We love him because he first loved us. So you could say we obey him because he loved us, because he showed us his love, because he made us worthy. We don't obey him for any other reason. And we see here in verse 7 that he touched his lips. So he took away the sin. He took away that which is unclean. We need to experience his glory in order to do away with those things that are unclean in our lives. Those things where we're not measuring up. Let's stop trying to sanctify ourselves. Let's stop trying to better ourselves. But let's seek him. Let's cry out to him. Let's be dependent upon him coming into our lives and touching us. He took that burning coal and touched his mouth with it, the fire. The refining fire of God. Allow his refining fire to refine you. Allow his Holy Spirit to refine you. Depend upon the Holy Spirit. Rely upon the Holy Spirit to change you, to touch you, and to transform you into the image of Yeshua. That's what our walk and our journey is. We each and every single day should be progressing and becoming more and more like Yeshua. And the more like Yeshua we are, the more we're going to show the glory of Yahweh to this earth. Now let's look at how Paul spoke this forth to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, or being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So Paul is talking, first of all, when he says, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, he's speaking about the Torah, the law that was given. Because the Jews would read the Torah in the synagogue every Sabbath. So they would read Moses. That's what they mean by read Moses. So they're reading Moses. They're reading the Torah in the synagogue. But the Jews have a veil that lies over their hearts. So they're not able to see the Torah for what it is. They're not able to experience the glory of Yahweh because this veil is over their hearts. But Paul says, whenever a person turns to Yahweh, okay, or whenever a person turns to the Lord, whenever a person believes that Yeshua is the Messiah, that he died upon the cross for their sins, and that by his blood there is forgiveness of sin. So to whomever turns to Yeshua, the veil is removed. It's not that the law is removed, the veil is removed. So now when the Torah is read, now when the law is read, whenever you hear Moses read, you can experience and see the glory of God. He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's not that there is freedom from the law. It's that now there is freedom to experience the law, the goodness of the law, the holiness of the law. Remember, Paul says in Romans that the law is good, it's righteous, it's holy, or you could say it's set apart. So that veil is removed so we can experience the glory that comes from the law. But we have a responsibility. We are to look at the law as one who looks into the mirror. The law provides a mirror unto ourselves. So as we look into it, it shows us where we are in terms of being transformed into the image of Yeshua, of being that full representation of the glory of God. So we should look into his law as a mirror to see where we need to be changed. See, we come with an unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. We're able to experience his glory. And because of that, we are transformed into the same image, into the image of Yeshua, the one who obeyed the law perfectly from glory unto glory. This is speaking of progress, maturing in our walk with Yeshua from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, being transformed to being more like unto Yeshua. We are transformed by his glory. We are not transformed by our strength, by our ability. It's not how hard we are determined to do something, but it's us yielding our hearts to him and saying, Father, I desire your will. I desire your ways. I desire to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. I desire to walk just as Yeshua walked. And we ask for help. And we seek his presence. And we allow his presence to come into our lives daily. Seek his presence daily. Allow his presence to come and settle with you daily. And in those moments, as we cry out, we experience his goodness and the weightiness of his goodness, we can allow his Spirit to transform us, to do that work inside of our hearts, inside of our minds. Because it's not by our power, not by our might, not by our strength, but by his Spirit, that we're going to be able to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. That is very much what his new covenant is about. The new covenant is that by the blood of Yeshua, we have been cleansed of all of our uncleanness, of all of our sin, made worthy. Yeshua circumcises our hearts. And he places his Holy Spirit inside of us. And he writes his law upon our hearts and upon our minds. He has placed it inside of us. And he takes that old stony heart out, that rebellious heart, that desire to walk in conformity to the world, that desire to seek after the lust of the flesh, satisfying the pleasures of our flesh. He takes that out and he gives us a new heart, a soft heart that is tender and open and receptive to hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit, to hear when Moses is read, to hear the conviction that comes, to hear and recognize and see the areas of our lives that do not measure up to his holiness that we need to repent of, and allow his Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives, to allow his Holy Spirit to come and touch that area of our hearts with that burning piece of coal. And when we do that, we will become a living representation of Yeshua on this earth. And we will make his name great on this earth. And we will be a vessel of the weightiness of his presence, of his goodness, of his holiness, of his kindness, of his faithfulness here on this earth. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.